Well, I don't know who's been busier than you this week with swine flu, H1N1, whatever you want to call it. What is the question that people are asking most, Dr. G?
I think the biggest question that people have been asking is the issue of exposure and quarantine and travel. Should I travel? Should I go to New York City where there's been a pod of infection in school? The answers are, I think, fairly straightforward, and you have to look at the bigger picture to give the answer. To put things in perspective, there's been one case of swine flu or H1N1 death, to be proper these days, in the United States, and that was a two-year-old child that was brought to Houston for treatment from Mexico. Last year, the American health authorities estimate there were 36,000 deaths related to influenza in the U.S. In Canada, if you looked at that statistic and took roughly 10%, we'd have between 3,500 and 4,000 influenza-related deaths in Canada. So far, of the 34 reported Canadian confirmed illnesses, no one has been truly hospitalized, and all cases have been mild. So getting back to the quarantine issue, yes, I believe that anyone who's had a direct exposure to someone who is ill and has come back from Mexico, it makes a lot of sense. And that includes exposure in the workplace, and those questions are being thrown at me all the time. And common sense has to prevail here. There's been a sense of hysteria that I think is somewhat induced, sorry guys, by the media.
Absolutely.
Just not us, though.
No.
We personally did.
Yeah, we've heard about it. It's yeah, disconcerting.
Really?
It is.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you know, my late friend Doug Creighton had a saying, we don't sell the truth, we sell newspapers.
Yeah, that's true.
So putting that behind us, I think we have to take a sensible approach. Before I came into the studios, I was on a worldwide conference call with colleagues of mine. Beside my work with Rogers, I'm also an international medical director of Barrick Gold Corporation, which is the largest gold mining company in the world. And there's, even in the remote areas of Peru, the medical people on the ground are scared. The airport in Mendoza, which is an international airport in Argentina, everybody was gloved and masked. These things just don't make sense. And I think that, again, common sense. People should not panic. And it appears that this virus is a new strain, which is why it's gotten, I think, global attention. And it's being studied. But it does not appear to be that virulent at this time. And the best way of preventing that is by good preventative measures as well, and not overusing these antiviral drugs.
Ah, now what about a flu shot like Mike, you got yesterday?
Yeah, I actually got one yesterday.
Yeah, flu shots are fine for the influenza strains that we know about. It will not give you any immunity to H1N1 at all. That has been determined. And so people running to doctor's offices to get flu shots, it's a waste of time. Although there is a directive that if you're going to go in, now that we're heading into spring and summer, and if you're going to go into the southern hemispheres where the flu seasons are reversed, having a flu shot does make a lot of sense, particularly if you're more of an at-risk individual. But I got an email, for instance, at 11:45 last night from a patient of mine going to be doing some traveling, wants to get his hands on Tamiflu just in case. Well, I can tell you that as of yesterday, the pharmacies are limiting it to known post-exposure or exposure individuals. And that's common sense, because if you start overusing these drugs, drug resistance starts. You may have remembered that some of the studies that have come out with the avian flu not that long ago indicate viral resistance to Tamiflu, but not yet to Relenza, which is the other product. So overusing these drugs, just like overusing penicillin in the past, can certainly cause problems.
And using masks, many of them just don't work anyway.
That's right. I think the best protection to actually just read it to you is from the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta. And this was put out again as a bulletin. Number one, avoid close contact with people who are ill. Give yourself respectful distance, and it varies from 3 to 6 feet.
Okay.
Stay home when you're sick. Now, some employers might not want to hear that.
No.
But until the whole workforce is failed.
But at any one time with a major pandemic, the estimate is 30 to 35% of the workforce could be ill if we had a true pandemic. During the height of the influenza season, it's probably no more than 3 or 4%. Now, again, staying home when you're ill, it's again common sense. You're not transmitting your virus to your coworkers, and you're able to look after yourself better, and the individual will get better faster. Third thing, cover your mouth and nose when you're coughing, you know, on the old sleeve routine that you, you've been seeing on television. Simplest thing is carry a handkerchief that's your own or Kleenex, and don't cough in people's faces. You know, the fourth thing is wash your hands frequently. Just simple hand hygiene.
Mom was right, eh?
Yeah, yeah, she really was. Yeah. And chicken soup. don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth if you've got a cold as well, because you'll transmit it back into yourself.
Oh,
and
boy.
Again, something as simple as kissing people. You know, you go to a lot of meetings and people always want to give you a kiss on the cheek. At this point in time, I think that's probably not the best thing.
Okay.
And if you are immune compromised in any which way, I think carrying a little bottle of hand sanitizer and wiping your hands is not a bad idea, particularly until this plays out. But it's not a bad idea year round.
All right.
You know, what makes you think viruses don't exist? And the last big point is good health habits. Exercise, sleep, eat properly. Try not to stress yourself out too much. Listen to CHFI in the morning.
Good.
Good doctor.
Had to get the plug in.
Oh, thank you.
These are things that actually mitigate a person's immune system to responding to infection.
Well, thank you. We would give you a kiss, but, you know, it's just not prudent right now.
We won't shake your hand either. We'll just give you a nice
shove. Well, Mike, you can shake my hand, Aaron. I'd rather you kiss me.
Thank you. We want to. Thank you so much. Dr. Bernie Gosovitz is Chief Medical Officer with Rogers and Vice President as well, and we thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to help enlighten all of us.
Okay, you're welcome.